Innumeracy means not being able to understand numbers and what they signify. Mathematician John Allen Paulos says innumeracy causes people to make a lot of foolish choices. For example, in 1985, 17 Americans out of the 28 million who traveled abroad were killed by terrorists. That adds up to a one chance in 1.6 million of dying at the hands of a terrorist. That same year, Americans had a one chance in 5,300 of dying in a car crash. Nevertheless, almost no Americans canceled car trips in the United States, while many canceled airline trips abroad. John Allen Paulos is a professor of mathematics at Temple University. He's the author of Innumeracy, Mathematical Illiteracy and Its Consequences. In the 1960s, new math was introduced as a way to teach sophisticated mathematical concepts to elementary school children. I asked Paulos where it went wrong.
I think one of the problems with the so-called new math was that it was prematurely abstract. It didn't have much to do with real mathematics, numbers, chance, probability.
Is there still that difference between boys and girls in math? Are we kind of closing that gap where girls will succeed just as well and do just as well academically in math?
The latest studies, and of course it depends which ones you look at, the latest studies seem to indicate that the gap between girls' performances and boys' performances seems to be narrowing. And I don't think there's any inherent genetic difference between boys' ability in mathematics and girls, but they do score lower for a variety of reasons, socialization, the broad reason.
There's another part of this, and you touch upon it in your book, which is that people who don't do well in math or are innumerate are proudly so, and the idea being that I'm not a numbers person, I'm a people person, right. And a kind of proudness in that.
Yeah, it always annoys me. I mean, if I meet somebody at a party or wherever, and they find out I'm a mathematician, they do feel compelled to confess that math was their worst subject. And I think part of the reason is, unlike illiteracy or general cultural ignorance, which people are, you know, vaguely ashamed of, the consequences of innumeracy aren't as obvious, as immediate, as are those of illiteracy, cultural ignorance. And people think that there aren't any.
I think one of the things that many people grapple with is we're told about our billion-dollar debt, or I suppose at this point it's probably a trillion-dollar debt that we have. I think the larger that numbers become, the harder it is for us to comprehend it. And yet if someone wants to describe that if you took $1 trillion and $1 bills and you put them, it would be so many miles high. Do people who are uncomfortable or innumerate in numbers need to kind of personalize numbers in a way to understand them?
I think not just innumerate people, but numerate people as well. One example I often give is the difference between millions, billions, and trillions is as follows. A million seconds takes about 11 and a half days to tick by, whereas a billion seconds takes about 32 years, and a trillion seconds takes 32,000 years. So it won't do to lump millions, billions, and trillions and say they're all big numbers. It reminds me of the Hottentots number system. They have one, two, three, many. And for many people have somewhat similar system.
To be numerate in this society, what do we have to be able to do?
I think it's important to have an appreciation for numbers, for magnitudes, and not the calculations. You can use calculators to actually do the computations. But if somebody asks you how tall the Empire State Building is, you should realize that 5 miles is a ridiculous estimate. And as you mentioned earlier about terrorists and so on, should be able to assess risks in a reasonable way. The number of people who die from smoking each year is the numerical equivalent of 3 fully loaded jumbo jets crashing each and every day of the year. I mean, that's a horrendous toll, and yet people continue smoking. So this ability to estimate magnitudes, compare magnitudes, assess relative riskiness of various activities, and have some feel for numbers and probability, how large is the population of the United States, how large is the population of the world, and so on. Some feel for, as I say, numbers and chance, I think are much more essential than this ability to do long division.
You've gone down to Atlantic City, and I guess, I don't know if... I guess they watch out for people like you, people that can count cards. But I guess there's a place where people feel that they can play the odds, that they're somehow special and lucky. Even though everything is designed to take your money away, it's also designed to make you feel like it isn't.
Right.
How did you play down there? How do you sort of play the odds?
Well, I mean, there's no game that you can win at except for blackjack. because blackjack is the only game where the sequence of outcomes depends on the previous history. But even there, unless you have enough money to play with, the variability of the outcomes is so much you may lose your money before you start winning. And the rate at which you win, unless you have a ton of money, is going to be so slow, it's easier to work.
Can you count the cards? I mean, is that something
you
can do?
Yeah, I used to, but it's very difficult. And not to count, but to maintain one's concentration in a smoky atmosphere, it's dark, and it's kind of boring. You just sit there for hours keeping track of aces and kings and so on. One thing about casinos is they're designed so that any win is accompanied by little tinkling sounds of coins dropping into the thing, lights flashing, and so on. So the wins are announced quite clearly, and the losses are invisible and silent.
So how do we make a more numerate populace? And I guess that's a word we're going to hear more and more these days, numerate.
Well, a variety of suggestions. One, elementary school. I think there should be elementary school specialists in mathematics.
And how would they teach?
They'd they teach in a less authoritative way. They encourage more active involvement of the children. And you'd measure your radius, so the circumference of a head and the height, and look at the ratio maybe of those two things. You'd estimate how many nickels in a tower equal in height to the Empire State Building. You'd get away from this model. There's got to be a right answer, and it's got to be done this way, and you got to do 400 problems, and you better watch out. I mean, there's a kind of quasi-militaristic atmosphere in many mathematics classrooms that most people, myself included, I mean, just find unpleasant.
Do you find a place, though, for learning math tables and the kind of rote memorization that it seems that schools encourage? I mean, do you see a place for that?
Well, I think eventually you have to know multiplication tables and how to divide, but those skills are much less valuable than they used to be. After all, we do have calculators, and I, for one, never multiply or divide. I mean, it's as if 500 years ago, as the Roman numeral system was being supplanted by Hindu Arabic, people insisting that you have to know how to divide with Roman numerals. I mean, that's a skill that's no longer valuable. And it may be the case that we're coming to that now, I mean, with calculators and so on.
I think, too, about all this kind of statistical information that gets thrown at us all the time. And I suppose there is a kind of skepticism now about, and I suppose an election campaign can make you that way, but a lot of statistics are thrown at you. And you say, well, you know, that you can make statistics say whatever you want them to.
Right.
And a kind of a prejudice.
Yeah, well, one thing people are often surprised at is how if the sample you select is random, how few people you actually need to interview. And people sometimes express skepticism about polls because they say, oh, they only talk to 1,500 people, 2,000 people. But if the sample is random, that's generally a sufficient number. What is the case is that many surveys that are reported in the press are not based on random samples. I mean, Sherry Height or somebody in some magazine says, you know, 85% of women hate their husbands and 62% hate their kids. I mean, the respondents are limited to subscribers to the magazine, first of all, but even more biased than that is it's limited to the people who resonate with the question, usually in a kind of negative way.
Hmm. Your book has examples of how much blood there is in the world and what you could fill up, you know, to equal the amount of blood. Do you like to play with those ideas? I mean, not when you're writing a book, but if you're just sort of fiddling around, do you like to kind of figure out things in your spare time?
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate because, again, it kind of plays into this stereotype of nerd idiot savant.
No, I wasn't saying that.
No, I know, but to answer your question, yes, I hear something in the news and I say that can't be the case, and I do a little calculation and say, no, in order for that to be the case, this would have to be the case, and that's ridiculous. And so, I mean, then, you know, I usually drop it there. There are only so many irate letters you can send.
Well, thank you very much for coming by and talking with us today.
Thank you, Marty.